Production. Recorded live.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. My name is Apostle Lionel Blair. Welcome to the Talk Shoe segment of the Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I would like for, you know, everybody to continue to be, you know, in prayer for this ministry and everything. I try to start a conference call, my God, and the enemy has just been busy, you know, and my goodness, it's off the chain, but, you know, God is good in the midst of it, amen, and we're going to continue to, amen, just go forth in the things of God, amen, and just see what the Lord has in store, amen, for us on today, amen. One thing that God has really been, like, really dealing with me about is about, you know, advancing the kingdom, amen. A lot of times, you know, people talking about we're advancing the kingdom and, you know, they're talking about different things about the kingdom, you know, but they have no clue what the kingdom is. They have no understanding of what the kingdom is, you know. And I'm just waiting for some more people to come on here, amen, that had a hard time getting here, getting on the previous line. But while we're waiting for them to come online, I'm just going to say a prayer real quick, and then we're going to get right into what it is that God has placed in my spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now, Heavenly Father, for just allowing, Father, me this opportunity, Father, to present your message, present your gospel, Father, the message of your kingdom, Father. And Heavenly Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that I thank you, Father, that even in the midst now, Father, even what the enemy tried to shut down, Father, you've opened up another avenue, Father. And Heavenly Father, I thank you even now, Father, for, Father, just an increase in miracle signs and wonders, Father. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now, Father, just for everything that you're doing in this hour, Heavenly Father. I just thank you right now, Father, because truly, Father, you are awesome God. You are God of the miraculous. You are God of a second chance. You are God of miracle signs and wonders, Heavenly Father. And I thank you for the demonstration of your kingdom going forth in this hour, Heavenly Father. I thank you, Father, that not one word, Father, that you have spoken will fall to the ground, but it will accomplish what you sent it out to do. And Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now, and I bless your holy and righteous name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. God is just so good in this hour. Amen. Still trying to get things together here. Amen. But God is good. Amen. 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 Anyway, I'm going to continue, amen. But what the Lord has placed in my spirit is about the kingdom. You know, so many times, you know, see, first of all, in order to operate in something, you first must know and understand what it is that you're operating in. And so many people preach the kingdom, but they don't know what the kingdom is. You know, they don't know what the kingdom is all about. And in this hour, you know, God is raising up his people, you know, to go forth in the demonstration of the kingdom. But first we must find out what it is the kingdom is all about. What is the kingdom? And before I go any further, I see Psalmist Will, God bless you. It's so good to have you on today. Can you hear me? If you can't hear me, just place it in the chat box and say that you can hear me. Amen. And, you know, I want to make sure that you're able to hear me. Amen. But you got two words in the word kingdom. And the kingdom is very simple. The kingdom is very simple, but people make it difficult. You know, they make it difficult to understand. You got two words in the word kingdom. You got the word king and you got domain. So what is a kingdom? The domain of a king. A kingdom is a place where the king rules, right? Amen. So understand this, that when the kingdom of God is established in a region, established in a place, all the attributes of God is going to be in that place, okay? Satan has a kingdom. You know the characteristics of Satan's rule is sickness, death, disease. Come on now. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you, right? And see, first of all, in order to grasp the kingdom concept, we first must understand that the kingdom of God has nothing to do with the natural. Jesus told his disciples, he said that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That means it don't come with what you see. It don't come with what you hallelujah. It don't come with what you can taste, touch, smell. Come on, Jesus. But it has everything to do with the Spirit. And the Bible says that in order to be in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And in that particular passage of Scripture, Nicodemus asked a stupid question. He said, you mean being born again means that we have to go back into our mother's womb? That goes to show right there that Jesus was not talking about a natural thing. He was not talking about a natural experience, but he was talking about a spiritual thing. Come on, Jesus. He was talking about a spiritual experience. But so many times we try to make the kingdom natural when it has nothing to do with the natural period. That's why he told his disciples, he said, the kingdom of God is in you. It has nothing to do with what's around you, what's physical. It has nothing to do with what your eyes can see. But we try to materialize the kingdom. Come on now, we try to make the kingdom a business. We try to make the kingdom a car. Come on now, we try to make the kingdom all these natural things. God said it has nothing to do with the natural, but it has everything to do with the Spirit. Now, I'm noticing that there's a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, being raised up in the body of Christ, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against businesses because I believe God can use businesses. However, the kingdom is not your business. However, your business can be an avenue in which the kingdom of God can be established in somebody's life or in a place. Come on, Jesus. But the kingdom itself is not your business. And so many times we make this thing about natural things. Come on now. I estimate that 80% of the people in the body of Christ are not born again. And one thing that the Holy Spirit told me, he told me today, the people need to be taught the truth. See, one thing that we've been going by for the last 20 years is man's interpretation of the Word of God. Instead of revelation by the Holy Ghost, what we've been receiving and being taught, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of them out there don't even have this revelation. They've been going upon their own interpretation of the Word of God. And understand that you can't read something on a surface level and get the true meaning of it. Understand that the mysteries of God, the Bible declares, are revealed to the apostles and to the prophets, but being that these gifts have been pretty much been booted out the church or haven't been released to function in the capacity that God has called them to function, it's causing a lack of revelation of the true meaning of certain things and certain principles in the Word of God. Come on, Jesus. So now in this is the hour of the unveiling of the truth. This is the hour of apocalypse. Apocalypse means the unveiling of the truth. It means unveiling. It means to reveal. God has taken us back to the basic principles of the kingdom of God. and understand that you must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again in the Spirit. That's what that scripture is talking about. You must be born again in the Spirit. Amen. Psalmist Will, can you hear me, sir? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, hallelujah, you must be born again in the Spirit. Okay? How do you know you're born again in the Spirit? The Bible says that we're born of incorruptible seed. That goes to show you right there that it has nothing to do with the natural. It has nothing to do with your outward works. Come on now, because what you see in the natural is subject to being corrupt and subject to decay. Even our own bodies are subject to decay. Come on now, because when we're dead, our bodies begin to deteriorate and rot in the grave. So we know that being born again has nothing to do with natural things. It has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with the Spirit. It has nothing to do with us physically, but it has everything to do with us spiritually. Now, gateway into the kingdom of God is this. Because, see, in order to advance the kingdom, you got to understand, first of all, you got to be in the kingdom in order to advance the kingdom. In order to move in the kingdom, you must understand how the kingdom operates and what the kingdom is. So now, gateway into the kingdom of God is being born again. And that goes all the way back to what Jesus did on the cross. Yeah, I know I'm cursing right now for a lot of people because, you know, holiness and the cross and all the other stuff is like a curse word in the church right now because we made it everything except that. Come on now, there's no more preachings on the cross no more. Nobody knows about the cross no more. All they know is church. You see, my God. And, but in this hour, God is realigning everything back where it's supposed to be because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's how we're able to enter into the kingdom of God. Now we have become a covenant people. Come on now. Come on now. We have become a covenant people. The covenant is no longer limited to a group of people. Understand that in the Old Testament, God belonged to Israel. Come on now. And God was Israel's God. They were his chosen people. And we now know that in the New Testament, the Bible says, who is a Jew? One that's circumcised in heart. So Israel went from being a physical people to a spiritual people. Now it's available for everybody. Even if you are a regular Jew, a Gentile, whether you black, white, Puerto Rican, you are still considered a Jew because the Bible says that those that are Jews inwardly. Come on now. The Bible declares that not everybody that is from Israel, not everybody that's physically descended of Israel is Israel. Come on now. Who is a Jew? A Jew is a person who's circumcised in heart. That's how God views it. Come on now. We go by physical lineages, but God don't go by that. God go by your spirit. Come on now. And that was a problem in Jesus' day, too, because the Pharisees were so self-righteous, they thought that they had automatic status with God because they physically were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what did Jesus tell them? In John 8, he said, you are of your father the devil. And what the Pharisees was like, look, we are of our father Abraham. Jesus said, no, if you were the child of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham if Abraham was your father. Understand that Abraham is the father of many nations or many nationalities or many people of different ethnic backgrounds who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. So now, being that Israel has become a spiritual people, the Bible says that Jesus came to break down the wall of division between Jews and Gentiles, brought them together, and made them what? One new man. Come on, Jesus. So now the covenant is for all who will come to the knowledge of the Son of God and begin to walk accordingly. Come on, Jesus. So now, we must understand the principles of salvation. Because, see, you can't even move in the kingdom unless you're delivered, right? First of all, what is salvation? What do it mean to be saved? Because so many times we go by a simple prayer. We think a two-minute prayer is what saves us. The devil is a lie. That's not what the Bible says. See, you can't go by surface interpretation of a certain scripture. Come on, that goes back to what I said earlier. You got to have revelation of the thing. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, come on now, and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, believe he rose on the third day, you shall be saved, right? Look at that word, shall be. That is a progressive word. Shall be or will be means that it's something that's not obtained immediately, but it's something that will be obtained in the future, right? I know I'm messing with some folks' theology. Come on now. You look at the word confess. Matter of fact, my Jewish Bible says the meaning of the word confess is to acknowledge publicly. And the Lord showed me something. When you acknowledge something, you walk according to what you acknowledge, right? Faith without works is what? Dead, right? If you believe something, if you believe Jesus is Lord of your life, then you're going to walk accordingly to what you believe. Come on now. The Bible says, not what man says. See, we got to get out of man's thinking and man's theology and man's doctrine and start focusing on what it is that God is really saying. It says, if you confess or acknowledge, continue to acknowledge publicly that Jesus is Lord of your life. Come on now. Confess the Lord Jesus and believe he rose on the third day. You shall be saved. So when we come to the place where we receive the gospel into our hearts, come on now, and begin to walk accordingly, then we step into the grace of God because the Bible said that we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. We're saved by grace, by the grace of God. But it's through faith that we enter into the grace of God, and therefore, while we're operating and living under the grace of God, we shall obtain salvation. The Bible says that those that endure to the end shall be saved. That's another progressive word. Want me to give you another one? The Bible tells us to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Work out, progressive word. Another progressive word. So that defeats the theology that you're saved just by a simple prayer. Because there's a lot of people that I'm going to tell you a secret too. When I first started off and when God started moving in my life and I began to answer the call upon my life, I didn't say no sinner's prayer. And that still didn't stop God from moving in my life and using me. See, I walked accordingly to what I believed. I responded to the things of God. And because of my faith, I began to acknowledge Jesus in my lifestyle, in my speech, the way I conduct myself, the way I present myself, and I begin to walk holy and upright before the Lord. I didn't stand at an altar and say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name asking you to forgive me of my sins and blah, 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 and so on and so on. I didn't say all that. Come on. I know it's messing with your theology. I was talking to another minister a couple years ago, and he tried to argue me down. He said, well, you had to confess it at one point. No, I didn't. I believed. Come on now. My speech alone and my conduct showed what I believed. Now, yes, I did tell people I was saved. I did tell them I was delivered. Come on now. But I didn't go to nobody's altar and say I believe. Because it's a whole bunch of people that's coming to these altars. Come on now. confessing Jesus, and then going back out, come on, going back out and doing the same thing they used to do. No, we got to let them know. Salvation is something that you have to work at. It's a daily process. Come on now. I know some folks think I'm drifting off a little bit, but no, I'm not, because in order to even be in the kingdom of God, we got to get this down packed. We got to get this down first. We have been taught wrongly. I mean, and then I'm going to do away with that Baptist lie, once saved, always saved, either. I'm going to do away with that in just a minute. Amen. I'm going to do away with that. Amen. Now, that doctrine, once saved, always saved, is a lie. And I'm going to tell you why. I just feel led to go there right now. It's Hebrews 10:26. It says, if we sin deliberately after we receive the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. I know it seems like I'm fumbling around a little bit, amen. I'm trying to stay on one thing, but, you know, sometimes when the Holy Ghost be on you, he just have you to speak, and, you know, I probably won't even remember everything that I said. I probably have to go back over the programming myself. Amen. But if we deliberately sin after we receive the knowledge of the truth, then there is no more sacrifice for sin. That sacrifice, obviously, is talking about the work that Jesus did on the cross. Come on now. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. That word sacrifice means atonement. There's no more atonement for sin. Because understand that when we know to do something, when God has made it known to us that he don't like it, and we do it anyway, that is an act of rebellion against God. And in the Old Testament, God showed no mercy for rebellion. He just killed you then. And what the scripture is saying is, when you do something and you know it's wrong, come on now, you come to the knowledge of the truth, come on now, and you still choose to deliberately sin, come on, Jesus, that means that there's no more sacrifice or no more atonement for that. So what does that tell me? That rebellion is the only thing that the blood of Jesus does not atone for. That's something that you have to come out of yourself. That's something you have to make a conscious decision and say, I'm not going to live a lifestyle of sin no more. I'm not going to deliberately keep spitting in the face of God. Come on now, and trampling underfoot the blood of the covenant. Come on, Jesus. I know it messed with your theology a little bit, but that's all right. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of stuff that God is revealing in this hour that's going to mess with our theology. It's going to change the way we see God. It's going to change the way we see the Word of God. Come on now. It's going to change the way we interpret the Word of God. Come on, Jesus. So now, back to salvation. We know that salvation is something that is worked towards, is not automatically obtained just by a prayer. So we need to get that out of our heads. Some of us need to go all the way back to our foundation. I had to do it, you know, just to make sure. Some of us need to go all the way back to when we stood before that altar and prayed and said, I give my life to you, Jesus. Was we really walking accordingly to what we just confessed? Because if you confess something and then you don't believe it, then that makes you a hypocrite, doesn't it? A hypocrite is somebody who speaks something but don't live it. So what we're doing now is we're producing a bunch of hypocrites that's saying that they're saved, but their lifestyle is jacked up. Come on. They're living a lifestyle of sin. They're fornicating, sleeping around, sexing. Come on now. Lusting. Smoking cigarettes. You're not saved if you smoke cigarettes. You're not saved if you cuss. Come on now. Come on, Jesus. I mean, understand, and I'm going to get on the grace and the mercy of God in another segment. You know, because once we begin to walk accordingly, it says we're saved by grace through faith. It's the faith that gets us to respond to the things of God, and then we begin to move in the grace of God because we know We are now aware of what Jesus did on the cross for us, but the Bible also says that the grace of God is not used as an occasion to please your flesh and to sin. Because if we sin deliberately after having the knowledge of the truth, then there's no more sacrifice for sin. And it's not like we don't have a helper called the Holy Spirit, because he is always, you know, with us, especially when we're trying to operate and move in the things of God. See, God goes by the intentions of our hearts. Come on now. And what's in your heart is going to show in your speech. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinketh, so is he. See what I'm saying? So now we see that whatever is in your heart, what you believe in your heart, is going to show outwardly in your lifestyle. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So what is God saying in this hour? We got to make sure that we save for real. We can't be going around confessing something and our lifestyles do not match it. And we talk about we world shakers and we moving in the kingdom of God. I was getting ready to go into the kingdom of God, but the Holy Spirit was like, no, the people have to understand the basics. Because, see, the kingdom of God ought to be foundational. And prior to entering into the kingdom of God, you must get this thing down pat about salvation and the grace of God. Because there is a such thing as insulting grace. See, when we begin to use the grace of God as occasion of sin, saying, oh, well, he gonna forgive me anyway, because understand that we're not without sin. No man is without sin. The Bible says if you say you are without sin, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. That's what the Bible says, okay? No man is without sin. But when we get to a place where we start practicing sin, that means we know what we're doing, but we choose not to change it. Come on now. We choose to not make the conscious decision that I'm not going to do this no more. Come on now. When we get to that place, come on, Jesus, we get to a place now where we make up in our mind, if we make up in our mind that we're not going to do this thing, you know, anymore, but we're going to live a lifestyle of God, then you're not insulting grace. But if you begin to say within yourself, well, God going to forgive me anyway, the Bible says don't use the grace of God as occasion of sin, because if you know the sin and you do it, then there's no atonement for that. Come on. You're trampling underfoot the blood of the covenant. And we don't want to insult the grace of God, but so many people are insulting the grace of God. And that's something that you and I have to come out of. Amen? So now the kingdom. Now we understand that. We begin to move in the grace of God, not insulting the grace of God, but literally allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in us without fighting against him. Okay? Because understand that the Holy Spirit, he's the one that brings the deliverance in your life. Come on. He's the one. And understand this. Understand this. God is not cruel. He's not going to keep you in bondage to something. And I just feel led to say this. He's not going to keep you in bondage to something that you don't want to be in bondage to. Amen. He's not going to keep you. He's not going to allow you to continue to stay in bondage to something that you don't want to be in bondage to. However, sometimes we tend to hold on to certain things because we take pleasure in those things. And until we make a conscious decision and say, look, we're not going to continue to please our flesh. Come on now. We're not going to continue to insult the grace of God, then the Holy Spirit can come in and do a work. Amen? Hallelujah. William, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You have anything to add, sir?
No, sir. I'm enjoying it.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, we have to be properly rooted as a people, you know, and I'm not coming to condemn the people of God. However, I'm coming to inform you, and I'm coming to, and I might be coming with a little firmness a little bit, but, you know, it's all in love, I promise you. I promise you it's all in love. Amen. I promise you that. You know, all these things must be known, and in order for the kingdom of God to be in us, like Jesus told the apostles, he said, don't look for the kingdom of God by what you see. Come on, Jesus. But the kingdom of God is within you. That means that God has dominion in you, because a kingdom is the domain of a king. Wherever a king has dominion at, that's his domain, that's his kingdom. Right? So the same thing with the kingdom of God. In a natural kingdom, the word of the king is law. The word of the king is law. Always remember that. The word of the king is law. The word of the king and the will of the king is law. So in the kingdom of God, God's will and his word is law, okay? With the kingdom of God comes the law. Come on now. The land, the kingdom is governed by the will and the law of the king. So if we are in the kingdom of God, our lives are going to be governed by the will and the word of the king, which is Jesus, okay? The lives of the people are governed, come on, Jesus, by the will of the king. And understand that you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Whatever country you're born into, I don't care where you're from. You can get pregnant in the United States and go have a baby in England. That child will be a citizen of England while you're a citizen of the United States. Whatever place that you're born in, you are a citizen of that place. There are people that come from foreign countries over here, and they have their babies over here, and the parents are citizens of a foreign country, and they become citizens of the United States of America. Why am I saying all this? Because in order to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, you must be born again of the Spirit. That means that you must come out of your flesh. You and I both must come out of your flesh, and you must come into a place where your life is governed by the Spirit of God. And for all of us, a lot of us, that's not obtained. That's not always obtained in one day. That's why the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. However, when we begin to make that effort, the grace, we've stepped into the grace of God. Come on, Jesus. We have stepped into the grace of God, and then God begins to work in our life. Because grace is given. What is grace? Favor received when you don't deserve it. Come on. We don't deserve for Jesus to die for us. We do not deserve for Jesus to die for us, but he died anyway. Because he saw what you and I would become in his kingdom. Hallelujah. So now, we understand that Jesus did not come to establish a religion, but he came to establish a kingdom. Not a natural kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. That's all Jesus preached, all his parables. The kingdom of God is like unto this. When Jesus first began his ministry, the first thing that he proclaimed, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The word repent is not what everybody said it is. Repent means to change your mindset. That's it. Everybody say, you know, repent means to, a change of mindset and confess your sins and all other stuff. It don't say that. Repent means to change your mindset. Change the way you think. Get out of that law mindset, because I'm trying to get you into a kingdom mindset. Don't go by what you see. Come on now. You can't go by what you see, because if you go by what you see, you're going to miss it in this hour. The things of the spirit can only be spiritually discerned. The things of the natural are foolish to the man or woman who is spiritual, and vice versa. The things of the spirit looks like foolishness to those that walk according to the flesh. Come on. God will get you to do the most ridiculous stuff sometimes. I've been there. I know. And whoever have a carnal mindset, they will miss what God is doing in your life and a potential blessing that they may have because they're connected to you. Because how many know that when you're blessed, those that are connected to you are blessed, but if they're walking according to the natural, they might miss, come on, Jesus, their chance to be blessed by what God does in your life. Prime example, Jesus and the Pharisees. They said, you're not a king. How are you going to be a king? They expect Jesus to come out the clouds with a royal robe on, with a crown on top of his head. But Jesus chose the low route. Come on. He chose the low route. He chose to be low. He chose to be humble in spirit. The Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. He didn't have to. I heard a pastor say one time, Lord have mercy. She said, if Jesus coming to your church right now with jeans and a t-shirt and gold teeth in his mouth, you'll miss him. I know it sounds kind of funny, but prime example, if you look at something according to the natural, you'll miss God. See, because, matter of fact, you'll miss the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God, like I explained earlier, is spiritual. It has everything to do with the rulership of God. A whole lot of stuff comes with the kingdom. Come on now, we can't even, a lot of people are missing God and living beneath their means, you know, in society as being a child of God because they are walking according to the flesh and not walking according to the things of the spirit. Instead of obeying the word of God, they obey their flesh. And in this hour, if you're going to move into the things of the kingdom of God, understand that you can't walk according to your flesh. You can't go by what it looks like. Sometimes God will have you to do stuff that is against what you would normally do or what everybody else around you would normally do, but it's not about what they would normally do. Come on, Jesus. It's not about that. So now we have to get to a place now where we become a spiritual people again. My God. I hear you, Jesus. We have to become a spiritual people again. My God, because flesh has caused us to miss God.
Truth.
And you can't help but walk in the flesh if you have a pastor or a preacher or apostle that's walking in flesh. Huh? Jesus. See, because whatever's on the head is going to twinkle on down to the body. But I thank God that in this hour, that's not going to have too much effect on those who the Lord is calling out as the remnant. Because understand that God always have a remnant. Always have a remnant. It's like a basic principle in the Bible that we miss. It's always a remnant. Gideon's army, a remnant. A remnant means a small group of people. Come on now. God always has a remnant. All throughout the prophets, they prophesy about the remnant. Even in Romans, prophesy about the remnant. Come on, Jesus. There's always prophesied about a remnant of Israel. And understand what I said earlier, that we are Israel. We just Israel with many different colors. Because we are part of the covenant. We are heirs according to the promise and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. So in order to walk in who we are, we must get this thing down pat. The Bible says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. The people of God are perishing inwardly, their spirit man and their spiritual life and their relationship with God is depleting and is dying because of present-day ignorance. And me, I blame all the ones in the pulpit because they should have this revelation. The same thing, some of the things that I'm talking about should already be broadcast all over the world on live television. I ain't saying I'm the only one that got it. There's plenty of people that are saying similar things that I'm saying and got in more depth a revelation about it, probably can teach it to you better. You probably think I'm fumbling and bumbling around. Come on now. So I'm not the only one. Never think you're the only one. Anyway, that's a whole other thing because we have a lot of one-man bands going on, and God is going to shut that down too. But people think that they're the only one. You know, they have that Elijah syndrome. That's a dangerous thing to have. But I'll get into that in another segment, amen. But in this hour, you know, God is preparing a people. He's raising up a people. He's raising us up. He's raising me and you up. Amen. He's raising up a people to go forth in the things of the kingdom. But first, God is saying that we have to get the basic things down packed because, you know, a lot of false doctrine has been taught. A lot of misrepresentation of the things of God has been presented. And what God said he's going to do in this hour, he says that he's going to clean this mess up. He's going to first expose it, and then he's going to do away with it. Come on now. Because a lot of things have been kept in the dark, but how many know that when the light is cut on, it exposes what hides in the dark? That's why the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. Come on now. The word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. Amen. So this is the hour of revelation. This is the hour where God is exposing some things, but also this is the hour where God is establishing a lot of things. The kingdom of God is going to be demonstrated. Come on, Jesus. And I look forward to this hour. Amen. Amen. I look forward to everything that's going to unfold in my life and the lives of those who are submitted to the things of God. Amen. Those that are getting the in-depth revelation and the mysteries to be able to present to the people so that they won't walk in ignorance, but that they may walk in the full potential that God has called them to. Let me tell you something about the people. I believe the true heart of an apostle is to see the people of God activated and released into their destiny and what it's God called them to do. I believe the heart of an apostle is to see the people of God moving in the things of the kingdom, demonstration, signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are not limited to the fivefold ministry. Most preachers won't tell you that. But the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. See, some of us need to go back to being a believer before we try to pick up a title. Yes. Some of us need to go back. Some of us need to sit our apostleship down for a while. Sit down our prophetic titles. Come on and go back to being a believer. So many people want titles, but then they haven't even got being a believer down pat yet. It says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues and." You know, they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, they shall take up serpents. Come on now. The average believer is supposed to be able to do this. The average believer. Come on now. The average believer. It didn't say these signs shall follow every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, even though apostles, prophets, evangelists, and all of them, the Bible does say that they move in signs and wonders, but I'm talking about the believers, us as believers who are and understand believers' faith without works is dead. So if you are a believer, you're walking according to what you believe, not just confessing it out your mouth. I'm talking about true, genuine believers. Us as believers, we have authority as being kingdom citizens. Come on now. And the thing about it is, a lot of people have not been taught about their authority in Christ. That's why a lot of people now like I said earlier, living beneath their means, or they are standing or putting up with something that they don't have to put up with as being a child of the king. Now, I ain't talking about you not obeying your boss and all that other stuff at your job, because some folks crazy. They'll go to their job and be like, I'm a child of the king. I don't got to take you talking to me. And then he'd be like, you fight. You know, and I'm not talking about that, you know. And I know that might be, so some folks might think that's kind of crazy to address it like that. But no, you have people that do that. You really do. You have people that do that, for real. For real. But as a believer, come on now, our authority is spiritual. Remember, we have spiritual authority. You know, so if you have a child that's acting rebellious, and you a believer, and you know you're a believer, you have authority over that rebellious spirit. Uh-huh. You have authority over that thing. As a kingdom citizen. If you are a believer, then the kingdom is sitting in you. Paul said we have this treasure that's in earthen vessels. I believe in that scripture Paul is talking about the kingdom. Demonstrate what God has already placed in you as a believer. Come on now. I'm talking about moving into things of the kingdom now, and I'm going to get a little deeper into that. I'm just laying a foundational work right now, because I'm going to really get into this advancing the kingdom thing. God has really placed this in my spirit, but I must lay a foundation for this thing first. Amen. I'm going to get into to in more in-depth teaching next time. Amen. I'm going to be teaching about, you know, the apostolic and moving into things of the kingdom when it concerns the apostolic anointing, and you know, be dealing with the prophetic anointing, fivefold ministry gifts as a whole. Amen. But we got to get this down packed first, because you know this is not the hour to be misinformed, but this is the hour to be informed and walking accordingly to what you know, because there's a lot of false prophets and a lot of false teachers and a lot of false apostles and false doctrine out there that's being presented. I done heard some of it. I was on Facebook prior to me being on here, and my God, they say Bernard Jordan, Bishop Jordan, the one that calls himself the master prophet, he got prophetic soap now. And somebody posted that on Facebook. I mean, my God, prophetic soap. I heard olive oil soap, and that's some foolishness too. But prophetic soap, I mean, what you going to do, bathe in the prophetic? I mean, seriously. And I'm looking at this thing, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, you can't be serious, right? It's bad enough that the man won't prophesy to you unless you give him money. Unless you give him money. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a psychic. Anybody, it could be anybody, me, anybody. If they come to you, want a word from the Lord, and you won't pray with them, speak what the Lord is saying, unless they give you money first, then guess what? That's a psychic. You don't need to hear what they got to say, no way. Come on now. And then people will take the scripture out of context and say, well, you know, when they went to the prophet Samuel, or when they went to this prophet or that prophet, they always gave a gift. The key word is they gave a gift. They gave a gift from their heart. He didn't manipulate them and say, look, I'm not going to prophesy to you because you didn't present me a gift. No, he didn't say that. Because if you want to use another scripture, there was also a woman that was possessed with the spirit of divination in the book of Acts that brought her masters much gain. Take that scripture and run with it. Amen. You are not supposed to charge for the gospel. You're not supposed to charge for the word of God. Amen. The Bible says, freely if you receive, freely give. Amen. you know, I mean, I'm just talking tonight, amen. I'm just speaking a lot of things that the Lord has placed in my spirit, because I'm telling you, it was like a bubble waiting to burst. My God, it's like I had to get all this off of me before I can go any further into everything else that the Lord has given me. And I really feel something in the spirit here. Will, you there?
I'm here.
My God, you have a powerful call upon your life, and you and I have spoken before, you know, but we never spoke face to face, or we never spoke per se over the phone, but we spoke over Facebook quite a few times. But the Lord wants you to be encouraged, yeah?
Amen.
You listen, the Lord wants you to be encouraged, because I feel even now that there's been some things that you've been experiencing lately. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some things right. That you've been experiencing, and there's some things that you've been going through lately, you know. But the Lord wants you to be encouraged, and you are in the fire right now. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you that you are in the fire right now. Yeah, and the purpose of the fire is to refine you. And what God is going to do is He's going to raise you up in the prophetic. See, because you know the call of God upon your life is that of a prophet. God has already spoken that to you. Amen. God has already spoken that to you, and now you know. Our God is going to raise you up, you know, as that voice. He's going to raise you up as that voice, amen. And my God, and even in your singing, you know, do you play the keyboard? Do you play the keyboard?
No, sir.
You ever wanted to play the keyboard? Because I see you playing the
yes.
keyboard too. You yes. wanted to play the keyboard. I see you playing the keyboard. Matter of fact, God is going to send you somebody to give you a foundation on playing the keyboard. But most of the time, you're going to be playing by the Spirit of God. And I've seen this done. I've seen a friend of mine who's a prophet. He got on there one day, and there was a song that was playing, and he don't know how to play the keyboard with a lick. And he got on there, and the Holy Spirit started helping him to be able to play the keyboard. The Holy Spirit started helping him to be able to play the keyboard. And, you know, God is going to raise you up very fast, and He's going to take you through a lot of stuff, you know, and a lot of stuff is going to be intense for your life, you know, because I know sometimes you have your moments now where it feels like everything is on you at one time and one moment and everything like that. But things are going to become more intense for you. But it's to get you to a place, you know, in God that He needs you to be, and it's because of who you are and how quickly God is thrusting you in the prophetic leap. You see what I'm saying? It's how quickly God is thrusting you. That's why things for your life is going to seem more intense. And I remember I had that prophecy too, and for like a couple of years, all hell broke loose in my life. I was stuff, but I had to continue to go forth and do ministry and do what God has called me to do and everything like that. But now in this hour, God is going to really establish you so that way when a strong wind comes that you will not be moved, but you will stand on every word that God has given you. Are you feeling me?
Amen.
Does that bear witness with your spirit?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And matter of fact, you cried quite a few tears, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, because I see you in the spirit. I see you crying in great distress, you see. But God, my God, that's why He told me to tell you to be encouraged. Because many times the enemy has come and he's tried to discourage you. People have spoken in your ear and spoken negative. Even people in your family who don't believe in the gift that God has placed in you. Come on now. Even people, even people in your church that don't believe in your gift. God said, I've placed it in you. It's not for man to believe. Come on now. The Bible says that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before mighty people. God says that your gift is going to make room for you in due season. He said, now I must train you. I must give you a foundation in your gifting. I don't quite know what that means, but that was the Holy Ghost. I never heard that before. So, but God said that he's going to give you a foundation in your gifting. And there's even some things, some mending and some healing that he's going to do in your heart, because the devil has come and he's trying to bring church hurt too, because of even people in the church who have tried to hurt you, and even sometimes you felt like it might have been done on purpose. But God said that even now I am moving those things from your heart, amen, because the purpose of that is to make your heart cold. But God said that he got you covered, amen, and it's only but so much that the enemy can do. And what is being done in your life now is being allowed by God to get you to a place that he needs you to be, because of what he called you to do. Because understand this, you have a heavy assignment upon your life. You sing too, don't you? You sing?
Yes.
Yeah, because God is calling you to purify the worship of this region.
Oh, my God.
God is calling you to purify the worship, because
God knows that's the assignment.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus, so much, God. Father, I can't take all that. Please kind of like slow it down a little bit. Please. Amen. My God. The worship in this region is perverted. Where do you live at? Where do you live at?
In Virginia.
In Virginia? What part of Virginia?
Portsmouth.
Where? Portsmouth?
Mm-hmm.
My God. Yeah, I'm in Hampton right now. The Lord just sent me back home. See, it's something in this region that's very defiled that God want to body. But God is calling you. You have a heavy assignment upon your life. See, that's why you can't be connected with any and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. You can't be connected with any and everybody, because the anointing upon your life is kind of like that of David when it comes to the psalm and minstrels. The anointing upon your life is like David. And even when the Lord has shown me the scripture, even when David had to play the harp in, the evil spirit that was disturbing Saul departed from him. See, that's the kind of worship that God is raising up in this hour. That's the kind of music that's the kind of anointing that God is placing upon a lot of musicians in this hour. That's holy, because the music industry, the music and the worship of God as a whole has become defiled. I remember one day the Lord told me he hates Sundays. And I'm like, what? And he told somebody else the same thing too that I know of. But the Lord told me he hates Sundays because they send that defiled stench, that defiled worship up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. How many know that God gets sick and God gets nauseous too?
Oh, yeah.
By some of the stuff that we do. The Lord told me he hates Sundays. He hated. I'm like, wow. Anytime the Lord despises something, come on now, you know it's bad. So God is raising up people like you, and I know there's quite a few people that God is dealing with, but that's why you got to allow yourself to stay clean, to stay pure, and not deal with everybody. Not deal with everybody. God is even giving you songs, huh? He's giving you songs to sing. Yeah, he's giving you songs to sing. And the Lord has already shown you a CD that you're going to have, huh?
What's that?
The Lord has shown you a CD that you're going to have?
Mm-hmm.
He showed you that, huh?
Yes, he has.
Yeah. And see, the thing about it is, your fire, what you're going through now, Come on now, because the anointing comes with a suffering. See,
oh, yeah.
you can only obtain the anointing of God when you suffer.
Truth.
That's why I don't let nobody take away what God has given me, because I know what I had to suffer and endure to receive from God.
True.
So in this time of preparation, God is preparing you to wear the mantle. Because the mantle is heavy, so he has to condition your body to be able to tow it. Sito rababasia. Eto rebe sika talabosia. Estalabosi kitalamasite robosoto. Ita shatamasi ketabasia. Jesus. Sita labosi. Sina labasika talabosia. Rima. I hear the Lord even saying now, more dreams and vision is coming your way. You've had them before, but now you shall receive them in a greater measure. Amen. Now you shall receive them in a greater measure. Now you shall receive it in a greater measure because of where I'm taking you. And what the Lord is doing in this hour is he is performing unusual miracles in this hour. And even in the midst of you playing and you worshiping, angelic visitations is going to take place. Amen. And a lot of healings and miracles will take place just by your submission to God and just by your worship. Come on, Jesus. So that's why your crushing is great, because the oil only comes with a pressing of the olive. So you're being pressed. Sometimes it feels like you're being pressed on. Sometimes you feel heavy and you feel weighed down. But that's the pressure of the fire that you're in. But God said that if you endure, come on now, if you endure a little while longer, you shall see the salvation of the Lord and you shall see the results of what I have done in your life thus far already, says the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good, amen. And he truly loves you. He told me to tell you that. You know, he truly loves you. You know, because sometimes, you know, with us being in church and being around people, you know, sometimes we don't feel like we're loved or appreciated or needed. You can identify with that feeling, huh?
So true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you feel like you're being judged.
Yep.
You feel like you're being overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel like you're being rejected. You don't feel love. And a lot of times we even feel that from our pastoral leadership.
Yep.
But God said in this hour, he's fortifying you. He's fortifying you. Come on now.
God.
He's fortifying you. You don't need to be dependent upon what a man does. Come on now.
Thank you, Lord.
It's you and God, your relationship with God. And why God got me talking to you so long, he must love you. He must have been some things you've been praying about, huh?
Just confirm some things I was praying about just on last night.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Things I've been sharing with concerning the worship in this region, concerning my apostle, to my apostle, some things that I have set in motion now concerning this region with dealing
mm-hmm.
with worship.
Mm. Jesus, my God. Sito rebe sika talabasia. Amen. I see I'm good in 2011. How you doing? Can you hear me? Yeah, man of God, you can keep speaking. I'm just.
Yeah. I thank God for it. I thank God. And I was just asking God on last night. I told God, I said, God, open sharpen my eyes, sharpen my hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I am a dreamer.
Uh-huh.
And even on last night, in my prayer time and worship time, the Lord spoke to me and said that he's getting ready to send me through a time of testing.
Amen. 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 And see, I've been through that time of testing. I've been through that time of testing. And you just got to endure. I'm going to tell you something. I had to endure so much. Even in the past 3 years, I've had to endure so much. And as I got to the end of my fire, what I had to endure, the anointing that God placed upon my life skyrocketed. I mean, the Lord moved. I mean, even when I ministered the word of God, the Lord moved, you know, in a miraculous way. He really did. He moved miraculously, you know. And, you know, God is going to do the same thing for you. You stay in that secret place here. You get into that place with God, and you worship. You continue to worship God, because right now your worship is the only thing that's keeping you.
Oh, yeah.
Your worship is what's keeping you right now.
It's the truth.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. I'm trying to unmute a person calling from Central Illinois, amen. Yeah. But you be encouraged here, man of God, because, you know, I see even you've been praying about something financial too.
Mm-hmm.
You've been praying about something financial, and see, I don't prophesy finances like that. If the Lord give me a word about finances, then you know, you could pretty much take it to the bank, you know, because I don't believe in is having a money ministry. I think that's a bunch of foolishness. You know, I really think that that's a bunch of foolishness. I don't do money ministries. You know, so if the Lord would have me to speak something about finances, best believe, look for it soon. You know. So that's the word of the Lord for you, man of God. Central Illinois.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Can I get your name and where you're from? And
my name is Joanna. I'm from Chicago, but I currently live in Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, okay. Are you one of my friends on Facebook?
No. I remember you from what's his name? Apostle Hill. Were you on the call last night?
Oh, yes, I was.
Yeah.
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
I was. Amen.
What's your name on Facebook?
Apostle Lionel Blair.
Lionel Glenn?
Blair.
Ah, Blair, right?
Yes, ma'am. Are you currently in ministry?
Well, I always I don't give the word, but I do speak the word of God to people, like, you know, things, you know, refer them back to the Bible or give them an uplifting and encouraging word to them,
mm-hmm.
to a lot of people.
Has the Lord ever dealt with you about the ministry? Has the Lord ever dealt with you about a ministry call?
Well, he told me that he, you know, has a great work for me to do, I've been thinking of some answers and some things.
Yeah, because the reason why I ask you that is because I see ministry upon your life. I really do. My God. Especially in the area of evangelism. I'm not saying that you're not called to no other place in the fivefold ministry, but that's all that the Lord is showing me right now, you know, evangelism. And, you know what I'm saying, even in the gifting of the prophetic, God is going to be using you in that also. And also, my God, even in, you know, teaching of the word, you do that now, don't you? You teach the word now, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing now also. But God is going to begin to even thrust you into the area of evangelism too. You see, because you don't have a hard time relating with people, huh?
I love people.
Exactly. See, that's the heart of it. That's the heart of the evangelist right there. See, you have a gift from God, and God is going to fine tune it even more. So, but you have a gift from God where you are able to relate to all kinds of people, and that's normally a gift that an evangelist has. You see, but you know, I also see you very strongly operating in the gift of prophecy also, and you know, the way that God is going to give you the gospel, I mean, my God, he's going to use you to break it down so simple that even a two-year-old can understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is going to give you keen insight into, you know, the lives of the people that you minister to, even the gifting of the word of knowledge. You know, I'm pretty sure you're already familiar with that gift, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, as far as, like giving the word, prophetically, God had gave me some dreams sometime last year, and they just come, I could be just, you know, it could be a vision, it comes in vision of dreams, and I could see myself, like, on the stage, and there's, like, a lot of people, and the way that I am speaking to the people is like I'm acting it out. Like you said, I'm making it simple and plain, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it's unique and it's very different. You're like,
yeah.
Wow, I'll be doing this, you know.
Yeah. But this is and that's a powerful dream. This is the season where God is fully developing you and equipping you to go forth. You know, and when God fully releases you forth into everything that he's called you to walk in, you know, in this season, you know, everything is going to be pretty much laid out before you. You know, you're not going to have to wonder where this is going to come from to do this that God is, you know, placing your spirit to do, because what he's given you to do is going to be funded. And a lot of times before you even go forth in it, the funds or whatever resources that you need is going to already be there for you to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
It's going to already be there for you to do it. And, you know, I feel, too, that even the enemy now has tried to bring a lot of warfare your way. You know, even as people that you are acquainted with are like in opposition against you. I don't know exactly who they are. I don't know if you might know them or you might not know them. Who knows? But
you repeat that, people. Somebody.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. What the Lord was showing me was, you know, I even feel a lot of warfare too. That's coming up against you. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there are even some people that you are acquainted with. I don't know if it's a friend or people that you just know, because sometimes we have acquaintances, people that we know, but it's some people that you know that are in opposition against you. They are in opposition against you. And a lot of times when we have certain things in our hearts for other people, you know, that's an open door for the enemy to use. But the Lord is even going to cause this deceit also. You know, I don't know if you've been experiencing any kind of discomfort lately. You haven't been getting no kind of headaches or nothing, huh?
Kind of, but if you're probably talking about with the things that go on in my church home,
I feel like it's some people that's like against you. You know, I don't know if they're jealous of your gifting or what, but there's some people that's against you. And a lot of times, too, and it's sad to say, and I hate to say it, too, but a lot of times when, see, my God, witchcraft is a work of the flesh. I'm going to just put it like this.
Yeah.
It's a work of the flesh.
Yeah.
And when you're in your flesh, you're subject to operating witchcraft. It's a work of the flesh first. You see what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
witchcraft is a work of the flesh in which a person tries to move in the things of the spirit from a fleshly place.
Yeah.
You see, and that's what you've been experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
People trying to move, and that's what you've been experiencing around you. People trying to move in a fleshly, people moving, trying to move into things of the spirit from a fleshly place. See, the gifts of the spirit are the gifts of the spirit. But you can't try to move in the gift of the spirit operating in your flesh, because then another spirit is going to come in and take over and act like it's the Holy Spirit. It's called a familiar spirit, and have you thinking that you're in the spirit, but you're in the flesh with spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you've been experiencing. And a lot of times, too, we must people must be careful that, you know, when you're in the flesh, you know, and you start speaking in tongues and all of that, that takes effect too, because you're operating a spiritual gift, but you're doing it in the flesh. So therefore, Satan has the opportunity to come in and flip whatever you're saying in the spirit to mean something else. So
yeah.
Instead of speaking mysteries to God or whatever, you're speaking curses on somebody else because of what you got in your heart. That's why our characters have to be made, and our characters have to be lined up with the things of God, you know, so that we won't fall into them, you see. So that's what you have been experiencing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only you and God know who these people are, you know, but I really feel like it's some ladies. I really feel that it's some ladies that's been coming up against you also. Some ladies. But
yeah, they always
mm-hmm.
Want to, you know, see what I'm doing. You know, we went to a couple of Sundays ago. We went to this one church and you know, it's like you say, I have the gifting of evangelism. People draw to me, and I could say, you know, people draw to me. Even at church, I can just look around and I can, you know, I could see, you know, people looking at, you know, somebody looking at you, and you can feel them looking at you, and when you look at them, they hurry up and turn their head, and it's like, you know, at first it was bothering me, but I'm like, okay, this is, like you said, this is a spiritual thing. Like, God, what's going on? Like, I mean, just staring at me, I'm like, I'm feeling like they putting, like, some hex or something on me, you know? And, like, even my pastor, you know, at first I was like, okay, why she don't speak to me? Which is, I shouldn't be wrong about that. I mean, that's out of respect. You're supposed to speak to your members because you don't know what your, you know, that's like if I was your pastor, I walk past you every Sunday or whenever we meet and don't say nothing. That's rude.
Yes,
you know, I'm going to say, hey, Apostle, how you doing? You know, everything okay, you know, but I don't understand it. But they just look at me, and one of the particular ladies, you know, we went to the other church. We was riding back, and she was like, well, you know, something, it was some guy on some CD talking about an out-of-body experience she was telling me about, but we were listening to praise and worship music. And she was like, well, you know, like out-of-body experience, like a guy will come and take me, and like hey, you and your husband talk, I can hear y'all conversation. And I'm like, what?
Then hold on. Let me say this right here. That's what you call astral projection. That ain't God taking her nowhere. Yeah. If God take you somewhere, it's gonna be in the heavenlies. He ain't gonna be all over the earth and you astral projecting everywhere. The devil is a liar. Let me just put that to rest real quick, because you know, I had a lady try to tell me that one time some years ago, you know, and this lady claimed to be so much into the things of God, right? And see, me, you know, I don't go by necessarily what people say, you know. I gotta see it for myself. But this lady kind of like had a little reputation and whatnot, but you know, Hey, I don't go by what people say. God got to show me, you know. You know, so I talked to this lady, and she was talking about how, you know, she'd be laying there, and God allows, she calls it a spiritual journey, how God allows her to go how God allows her to go on her spiritual journey. And, you know, first you got to be covered in the blood. You got to cover yourself in the blood and say that you're not doing this for personal gain and all this old other garbage she tried to tell me. I ain't talked to that lady no more ever since, because it did not bear witness with my spirit at all. That's a straight demon from hell. And that right there, you need to stay away from that right there, because that is astral projection. That's causing, that's you according to the flesh, making your spirit leave your body. Come on now. Making your spirit leave your body, that's astral projection. That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. That is not of God. That is not of God. While you were talking, I was feeling like that was not of God. You see, so that's somebody you cannot trust. You know, so what you do is you pray for them, pray that they be saved and all that other stuff, because they're not saved. They, whoever that is telling you that is
evangelist.
Who's evangelist? Who's evangelist? That's because the devil got people he sent out too, and I'm not saying that to be you know harsh, but anybody that would say that is not a man or woman of God. I'm sorry, you cannot be.
Yeah,
you cannot be. You know, God is not going to leave. God is not going to make your spirit leave your body just so you can have a little fun little time, you know, going wherever it is you're going, listening to other people's conversations in the spirit. That goes to show that you're doing it for your own motives anyway. And just the fact that you're doing it alone, according to the flesh, you, flesh, you doing it. You see what I'm saying? That right there ain't straight. That ain't God.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't God. You stay away from that. And anybody else that's listening now or will be listening in the future, anybody who talks about God allowing their spirit to leave their body and they go from this place to that place, that's a demon from hell. Now, God can take you up in a vision. God will show you things in a vision. Ezekiel said he was taken up in a vision. John said he was caught up to the third heaven. It was a vision. It was a spiritual experience. But his spirit didn't leave his body, going to and fro all over the earth. That's a demon from hell. And whoever that is need to be delivered, set free.
Uh-huh.
They really need to be delivered and set free. That is really concerning. That's something to really be concerned about. So you pray for him. But a lot of your warfare is coming from a lot of the ladies that's in that ministry. And I'm trying to see if there's any men, but the Lord keeps showing me ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep yourself clear here, because There's some things that's about to hit the fan. It really is. The Lord is telling me that now. There's some things that's about to hit the fan, and you, God wants you to be clear of it. Because
yeah.
because there's even some things the Lord says that he's going to vindicate you for. There's some
yeah.
things that you're about to be vindicated of, because a lot of things that you've been accused of or told that you was doing, you know, that you have not done.
Mm-hmm.
So God is going to vindicate you of that also. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I love this. You know, I thank you and the man of God, Will, for coming on the show today. Amen. It was a pleasure having you all. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I started to do a conference call and, you know, messaged a whole bunch of people, and then the conference call started acting up and didn't do what it was supposed to do. It, you know, so I had to hurry up and get it on TalkShoe and then try to message everybody. You know, while I was on the conference call, I had people calling my phone. I had people calling my phone about the conference call. And that old devil, that rascal, him, that dude crazy, the devil crazy, because that conference call was messing up. Could nobody get through or nothing, you know. So the conference call that I tended to have today, I had it with you all, but I'm definitely going to work towards trying to get something done on tomorrow. I'm looking at probably tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening. I will let everybody know on tomorrow. And, you know, for those that are listening or will listen, I truly apologize, you know, for the inconvenience. You know, I didn't expect for it to, you know, mess up and could nobody get in. I couldn't even, it kept me on hold and I couldn't even get in. And I'm the host and put in the little host pin and everything, and it still didn't work. So I'm going to try to work on getting a new conference call. But I found this new thing called TalkShoe now, so I thank God that, you know, I can use this tool to really, you know, advance the kingdom. Amen. Anybody have any words? Will or the woman of God, do you have any words?
I would just like to say concerning, say something concerning the word that was given
yeah.
to me. In the month of May, 18th through the 20th, I will be having my worship summit.
Wow.
So that was something, you know, that God has been speaking to me. And I've been sharing with people everywhere I go about the sound of God, releasing
uh-huh.
the sound of God. And so just keep that covered in prayer for me, that God will move. Because that is truly my assignment to
mm-hmm.
bring back the purification of the worship
yes,
sir, brother. In this region.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank
Jesus.
God for that.
My God, my God, my God. And you keep me informed on that. Where's it going to be? It's going to be where you are at, your city?
It's probably going to be in Norfolk, Virginia, but we're still trying to get the location and everything together. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, keep me posted because I'm going to try to make that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I got some friends, too, that love to worship. So, I mean, they'll tear the house down with some worship. So I'm going to see if they want to come and join, too. If not, I definitely want to get with you on that and really get some information on it.
Amen. And also concerning the worship, healing, you were saying healing and visitation
mm.
of angels,
mm. mm-hmm.
and that has been taking place. I've been asking God to really open up my spiritual eyes that I can see, because
yeah.
I haven't really been seeing the angels per se. Actually, I take that back. I was ministering a couple of Sundays ago at our church, and God just began to get those songs of the Lord begin to flow through me, and I begin to declare healing over the people's bodies. And I did see, that was my first time ever seeing that. I saw, it was like I saw a blue spot, one of the ladies floor. It was like I saw a blue spot.
Yes.
Then it hit me. We had a prophet come, and she was saying the different colors of angels and stuff. And I looked in my Bible, and I had rolled it in my Bible, and the blue angel stood for the healing angel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow.
Wow.
So I'm really asking God to really open up my eyes so that I may see more of angels, because I know when I worship a lot, they do come around.
Wow. I've seen a blue spot before. What you just spoke, I never heard of that before. And but that confirms something that I've seen, because sometimes every once in a while I see something blue. You see what I'm saying? Like a blue spot. It's hard to explain, but I know what you're talking about. I've seen that before. That's very interesting, because I never heard that before. I really haven't. Amen. Amen. Go on, look into that. Amen.
Amen.
Woman of God, you have anything else to say?
About me moving into my ministry.
Yes.
You know, the lady I was talking about. Well, you know, I haven't went into fully details what I have written down on paper, and it's been 2 years. But just make sure you talk over with Pastor. Make sure you talk over with Pastor. You know, but this is my ministry that God has given to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And see, my pastor is not for me, so why would I, you know, go to her? And so I'm really...
No. Let me advise this to you. Pray if you need to be somewhere where your gifting can grow. I strongly see... See, like I said earlier, I strongly believe that the heart of a real apostle or a real man or woman of God who's over ministry should be seeing the people of God released into their destiny.
Uh-huh.
And going forth in the things of God. And right now, this is not the hour to be stifled. You know, this is not the hour to be stifled. You know, so you know, God has given you things, and have you ever tried to approach leadership and say, you know, there's a lot of things that God has given me, and you know, I would like to share it. Have you ever tried that?
Yes, I tried it, and I even spoke with her on Monday about the things that I've seen. You know, what I see, what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And she mentioned it. I was running a little late for leadership, but people can say one thing to make themselves look good and, you know, maybe go behind closed doors and say, shh, you know, I just said that to make a scene. You know how people do.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. If a lot of times, with a gift, and I've been in this position too. A lot of times, when God sends somebody, when God sends somebody as a gift to the body of Christ, you know, and if that gift is not received or embraced, you see, then God will move that gift somewhere else. You know, I've seen this done so many times. You know, so. I would encourage you to continue to pray and seek the Lord on that matter, you know, as to what it is that he wants you to do, you know, because you can't afford to be stifled. Nobody else in this hour can't afford to be stifled either, you see.
Yeah.
This is not the hour to be stifled. So if you're being stifled, then you might want to pray about, you know, another place of worship, if that's where the Lord is leading you. Because sometimes he'll, because I've been in a place where I wasn't received, but God didn't let me leave then. You see, it was a lot of things, and me not being received was part of my fight. It really was. Because I was seeing everything that was going on, you know, you know, God will use me, you know, to speak things and, you know, it will happen or whatnot. And, you know, but, you know, the weightier matters of, you know, things was not being received. You see what I'm saying? When God gave me details about the weightier matters. So, you know, God made me stay for a long time because I prayed. I used to pray and ask God. I've been in that situation about twice, and I prayed and I asked God, and I begged him, could I leave? I'm like, Lord, can I please leave? Can I please leave? And he said, no, it's something I have to show you. I'm like, oh, man. You know, I'm like, Lord, I mean, I'll obey, but you know, I don't want to. You know what I'm saying? But I will, because I love you, and I respect you, and I respect what you say. You know, because you is my daddy, and you can't whoop me or take my breath. So I'll go ahead and sit. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it's only but so long that God's going to allow it to happen. So if things continue to go on, you know, eventually God will release your spirit and, you know, you'll be so uncomfortable in that place where you'll have to go.
Yeah.
You see, you're going to know when it's time to leave. I've been in that position before. You're going to know. You're going to know. But you don't want to make a decision, you know, because of, well, they're not receiving me, or I'm seeing things that's going on and I'm trying to tell them what's going on, and, you know, I'm supposed to be in leadership too, because I've been there too. I'm supposed to be in leadership too, and don't my voice count too? You see what I'm saying? I'm here trying to build the vision too, you know, but I'm seeing things that are not going on and stuff like that. And then a lot of times too, if we're not strong in the Lord, that can lead to rejection. You know, I had to really deal with the spirit of rejection. You know, I had to really deal with the fact that I'm going to be rejected all the time. Now, you see, I'm free from the spirit of rejection. I look forward to being rejected. Me, you know, I don't expect nobody to receive, you know, what a God has given me, because I'm very controversial. You see, and I use myself as an example because I've been in that place. You see, but, you know, you be still until God gives you the word to move. You be still until God gives you the word to move. You know, because if you move too soon, you'll miss what he's trying to show you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times he allows us to experience things like that to show us. That way when he releases us into ministry, we'll know what to do. We'll know what to do. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen the good, the bad, and definitely the ugly side of ministry. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly because I sat there and I looked. You see, even one time I was lifted up to a pastoral position. You see what I'm saying? A pastoral position. I was in a high place in leadership, and I've seen some ugly stuff. You see, but I could not move until God told me to move. You know, and of course when you move, people are not going to agree with it. You know, people are not going to agree with it. People are going to say that it's not God, and people are going to have all the opinions, but, you know, what matters to me the most, whose opinion matters the most, is God's opinion. So, you got to know that, you know, where you are is where God has placed you for a season. Because some places we're just passing through. You know, I'm going to tell you something. In 3 years, I've been to, like, let me see, 1, 2, 3. I've been in, like, 3 different states in 3 years. Now, I know that seems a little extreme, but I spent a year and a half, going on 2 years in Georgia. I spent a whole year in Louisiana. Now, I'm talking about this is helping to build ministry now. And then in Florida, I stayed for 3 weeks. And then now I'm back here. So sometimes God will have you to pass through a place. Now, not saying he's going to take you from state to state like he did me. Everybody differently. God deal with everybody differently. You know, but you have to stay planted until God uproots you. He does the uprooting and the planting. If he uproots you, that means he's going to plant you somewhere else. So you be still and know that he is God. Yeah? And watch and well as pray. Continue to discern because God is teaching you. Yeah?
Okay.
God is teaching you. That's what he's having me to give to you now. You know, he's teaching you. And at the appointed time, he's going to release you. And that time might be soon around the corner, but you don't want to leave before timing, or you don't want to leave too late. You want to leave on time, and you're going to know when that time comes. You're going to start feeling uncomfortable, and after a while, you're not going to be able to stay in there if things don't turn around.
Mm.
Yeah. So so watch as well as pray. That's your training. Even if you see stuff that ain't right, you pray for them anyway. You pray, you intercede, you get on your face. If God tell you to fast and turn aside your plate, I don't care if God showed you that they have a reprobate mind and that they're not going to change. If God tell you to fast, he wants you to fast. I kind of feel like he might tell you to fast. that's why I'm saying that. But if he tell you to fast and turn aside your plate for them, and pray for them, you know, pray that they may be saved or whatever, that's part of your training. Sometimes God will train you like that. He'll give you extreme training like that because of where you're going. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I hope I didn't give everybody too much of a mouthful. I'm sorry, what was you saying, woman of God?
I was just going to say, you know, God bless you that you have given me something. I'm looking at the situation in a different way.
Amen.
You know? It's like I can really, you know, press my way through. I can fight, you know, like the song say, walk it out. I can walk this thing out.
Amen. Amen. You be encouraged also. Both of you all needed to be encouraged. Because even in ministry, and you know that you know, there's a call of God upon your life, you know, my God. Even though, you know, there's a call of God upon your life, a lot of times we experience certain things, you know, difficulties in receiving your, accepting your call and other people receiving your call, you know, because, I mean, I walked as a prophet for some years, probably about like 5 years, and I grew up being rejected, you see, but, you know, in the church, you know, it's like, you know, you shouldn't be rejected. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The church should embrace every gift that God raises up in the body. You see, but I come to find out that the church is worse than the streets.
Amen.
And the reason why they're worse is because it's being done in the church. Everything is being done in God's name. You know, the church is... Gary said the church is being ran like a mafia almost, you know. But anyway, that's another thing. But you know, you're gonna experience hurts in ministry. You're gonna experience, you know, people doubting, rejecting you. You know, you saying God said something, and they talking about God ain't talking to you, or Pastor, I got a call of God on my life, maybe like you don't got no call, or they try to put you in another ministry that you're not even called to. I remember one time they tried to make me a youth pastor in one church. They tried to make me a youth leader, a youth minister. And I devastated the pro-youth. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, because I wasn't, then I was not called to a pastoral position. I was a prophet. You know what I'm saying? So everything that I came across was kind of like prophetic and kind of like harsh. Like, I mean, I was kind of immature at the time too, you know, but I'm a prophet. You don't make me a youth pastor. I'm a prophet, you see. And pastoral giftings is not something that God is developing in me right now. I'm talking about back then, you know, because I've been in a position to operate in pretty much all of them, some stronger than others, you know, but, I've moved in evangelism, pastoralship, the prophetic ministry is what I walked in for sure, and I've taught, and you know, now I'm an apostle now, but amen. But you know, it's well though. You know, the Lord is just, you know, telling me to tell y'all that it's well. You know, even if you experience rejection or whatever, you see, even if you know, you're being you're being moved to a place, you know, in leadership that you know you don't belong. The Lord said as well, it's part of your training. Amen. Do what He has graced you to do. And one thing too, also too, one thing that that I have learned and learning also that you know, when you're under a leader, to see, and I'm not saying this is y'all, I'm just speaking in general for the ones that will hear this in the future. You know, even if you're under a leader, while you're there, you must submit to the authority that's in the house until they start getting you to do things contrary to the word of God. God would never allow you to do something contrary to the word of God for the sake of submitting to leadership. If anything, he will remove you from that leadership. Now, if there's some things that's going on that's not of God, you back yourself up from it and don't be a partaker of that. You know, I was in leadership in a ministry, and you know, it was just a lot of things that was just going on that I just could not deal with. I couldn't do. You know, I tried to partake, I tried to agree with it, but my spirit was just grieved, you know, and I could not do that. See, you're not obligated to because God's not going to tell you to sin. You're not obligated to do things contrary to the word of God. But however, you're required to submit when the requirements of submission lines up with the word of God, or with the word of God. And, you know, and even if, you know, a lot of things are going on that's not of God, you know, you pray. Don't come against leadership, you know, especially if you are, you know, a person, well, anybody. Don't come against leadership, period. Even when Saul was trying to kill David, you know, and David was right. David had every reason in the world to do Saul in, you know, but David said, even though you're doing me wrong and I have not done you no wrong, but you're jealous of me, that's all right. You know, I'm still not going to touch the Lord's anointing. Now, Saul wasn't even anointed because the Lord had already removed the anointing from Saul. So he didn't have the anointing at all, but David still respected him as the Lord's anointing. He was still in position. And David couldn't take the throne until God brought Saul down. So understand that when you're under leadership, or, you know, in leadership under somebody, know that God is going to deal with that person. You know, you don't try to deal with them or correct it. Now, if God, you know, if you are a prophet or somebody with a strong prophetic anointing, God gives you a word, you know, you take it to the man or woman of God, and if they don't receive it, then that's on them. You did your part. And there's no reason to get upset, disappointed, or nothing. You know, you did your part. I just wanted to put that out there because I don't want nobody to think, well, you know, he telling people not to submit to authority and stuff like that, because people will start thinking all kind of crazy, weird, off the wall stuff. You know, they'll say that. Remember, put it on the record. Apostle Lionel Blair is not telling you not to submit to authority, because some people now they get uncomfortable in their flesh. You know, the pastor make them uncomfortable in their flesh, and they get up and leave, talking about that ain't God. No, that's not how it works. You know, so even if something, you know, starts off to be not right, he's not going to, or people start off in the spirit and they drift off into the flesh, God is not going to immediately tell you to leave. He's going to tell you to pray. You know, he's going to tell you to pray first, you know, for the leader, you know, and if the heart of the leader does not change, then God will most likely remove you. Amen. I just wanted to put that out there for the ones that will be listening in the future. Amen. And I pray that help you too also. Amen. Hello?
Amen. I'm listening.
Amen. Amen. I pray that helped you also. You know, but woman of God, that's your training. That's your training. And man of God, that's your training too. Everything that you two are experiencing is your training, but in the midst of it, still keep pressing into the presence of God. Still keep seeking the face of God. Still keep doing the work of God. You know, because God is going to definitely reward your faithfulness. He wants to see faithfulness and consistency. He rewards faithfulness and consistency. You know, I really believe that even though this is a trying season for y'all and a testing season for y'all, I just know, you know, and I just feel it in my spirit that, you know, when you come through this, you know, that you're going to be blessed so richly, and so many people are going to be blessed by how you are blessed, you know, because everything that we go through is for other people. It's never for ourselves. It's never for ourselves. Everything we go through is for other people. So, you know, in this hour, you know, it's a trying time for the remnant. The Lord told me that it's a trying time for the remnant. And the reason why it's a trying time for the remnant, because the Lord says that the vision is for now and it will no longer tarry. You know, so everything that God has given us to do, you know, or the vision that God has given us, you know, in this hour, it's going to begin to unfold. It's going to begin to unfold. And woman of God, is even some things that the Lord has given you to do, you know, and it's going to begin to unfold in your life. You know, God is going to make the pathway straight for you to be able to do the things that he has given you to do, you know, because a lot of things that he's given you, I really feel that it's a lot of things that he's given you. And he's going to open those avenues, you know, for you to be able to do those things that he has given you to do. And I even see him connecting you with certain people that will even be able to help you get there. Also, what the Lord showed me, too, that in this hour, too, that he's connecting people of like spirit. People who are moving in the things of the kingdom, or people who have a desire to move in the things of the kingdom, you know, he's connecting those ones too. So be careful, people of God, who you connect yourself with, because, you know, everybody ain't who they say they is. Amen. You know, so, you know, use discernment when you're connecting with people. Me, I don't just connect with anybody. I don't just go by what people say either. I might be acquainted with you, but as far as connecting you and allowing you in my inner circle, you know, I wouldn't do that. You know, my inner circle is very small. You know, it's very small. There's very few people that I really talk to or tell them the vision that God has given me. You got to be careful who you tell your dreams to, because even Joseph told his brothers his dreams, and his brothers got mad at him and threw him in the pit, got him thrown in the pit and sold into slavery. So you got to be careful in this hour. And that's a word from the Lord, too, also just now. He said, be careful who you tell your dreams to. Be careful who you tell your vision, what God has given you. Be careful who you speak that to, because a lot of people will start hating on you and start trying to suppress what God has given you. So be very careful. Be discerning on who you can trust. Everybody that says God bless you with a smile on their face is not for your best interest. Everybody is not like this. It's sad to say. It really is sad to say, but everybody is not for your best interest, you know. And I had to learn that, too, because I used to be so gullible. You know, I used to be so gullible, you know. I just think that everybody that says, oh, God bless you, and speak in tongues and, you know, hoop and holler and scream and say thank you, Lord, and all this other stuff, you know, I'm thinking that they're of God and stuff like that. And then come to find out, man, when that devil starts manifesting, you know, they turn out being a serpent or something. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be very, very careful and discerning. And, you know, God is also severing ties in this hour, too. I feel like with one of you, God is going to be severing ties. He's not letting you know which one, per se. It might be for both of you, because I just feel it in the atmosphere, that God is going to be severing some ties with some people, too. Because everybody can't go where you're going, you know. You know, if they're not moving in the things of the kingdom in this hour, you can't be connected to them. Not to say that you can't come back and get them, but right now where you're going, everybody can't go. And I remember somebody prophesied that to me about like 3 years ago before I left, you know, out of town, before I left out of state. You know, somebody prophesied to me and said that, you know, a lot of people can't go where you're going, and You know, in this journey, I've met a lot of people and had to, you know, leave a lot of people behind. And I had to come back to some folks, and then some folks I couldn't talk to at all. Everybody's not going where you're going, you know. And, you know, a lot of relationships I had to sever, you know, it hurted me, you know, initially. But God required it. And whatever God requires is what I'm going to do, because God knows what's best. And God knows what's ahead. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I pray that that was a word of encouragement for you all as well. You know, I perceive that to be a word from the Lord. Well, I know it to be a word from the Lord. Anything else anybody wants to say? Amen. Amen. Has God shared something with one of you all while I was speaking, or? I want to make sure that, you know, everybody has everything that they need to say out. Amen. God didn't speak to nobody. No, go ahead.
You want me to ask your question? It's really been, I've really been, because I haven't, and then had the question, why is it, you know, okay, I'm going to this within the church, but then also it's like, people always come to you, oh, where you get this from? I don't want to be, you know, don't look at me like I'm a star or something. I come here to get the word, you know, and that's it. I don't want nobody coming up to me, you know, oh, girl, where you get this up? That's annoying. That's really annoying to me. And it makes me feel like, oh, like, get out of my face, you know, but with a loving heart. And it's like, it's like that's all that's on their mind. You know, don't come to me and say, hey, girl, I like how your hair is. Girl, I like your shirt. I've been having this for 2 years. You know, I just take care of myself. But it's like, hey, how you doing, God? You know, how you doing? Don't just keep coming to me with the materialistic thing, because that stuff don't matter to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's really annoying. So how would I, can I handle that situation?
Well,
brother, that's what you got on. You know, and they always touch you and all that. You know, I'm like, hey, this is getting out of.
Well, I mean, there's a way to be straightforward in love. You know, there's a way to be straightforward in love. You know, sometimes the Bible says you have to speak the truth in love. Yes, you see, because it's truly not about material things. And most likely, people like that, you know, their eyes are on material things. They are the flesh, you see. And the reason why it annoys you so much is because you're trying to walk in the things of the spirit, and they're walking in the flesh. So when flesh comes in the same room with spirit, it conflicts with one another. You see what I'm saying? So, so what you have to begin to do is, in a loving way, say, look, you know, hey, I appreciate your compliments and all that other stuff, or, you know, I see what you're saying, but it's not about that. You know, we come here for the word of God. You know, I didn't come here to put on a fashion show. You know what I'm saying? This is not a fashion show, you know, but this thing is about, you know what I'm saying, the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom. You know, people have made it about church, but it's about the kingdom. You know, you know, it's not about what a person have on. You know, the Pharisees wore all kind of luxurious robes and stuff like that, and Jesus probably walked around with sackcloth on. you see, but look who had the power. Look who was the King of Glory. Look who had the power, and look who was self-righteous and puffed up in their own eyes. Mm-hmm. So the Pharisee, that's like a pharisaical spirit. You know, because the Pharisees worried about the outward appearance of a thing or of a person, but God worries about the inside. So just tell them in love, look, you know, I'm not coming here for that. You know, I come here to receive from the things of God. I come here to receive the things of God. I come here to be equipped to be an effective kingdom builder. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to move in the things of the kingdom. I'm trying to get somewhere. Now, I'm not worried about what they got on. Yeah, they got some nice clothes on, but that's not what I'm worried about. You know, I'm not concerned about that. You know, hey, yeah, it do look nice. You know, you see, but that's not what it's about, you know. So you got to begin to let them know that, you know. Sometimes you got to be forward, you know what I'm saying, in a loving way, you know. And there's a way to do it. There's a way to be straightforward without, you know, being arrogant or being prideful or thinking that you this or you that. There's a way to do that. There's a way to do everything, you know. But you have to begin to speak up, you know, when it comes to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Did I help you?
Yeah, a whole lot.
Yeah, because
I don't want to be like, oh, she who's, you know, or I didn't want to be, like you say, it's the right way to do it without being a puppy, you know. That was good.
Yeah. So it is well, you know, with your situation. God definitely sits high and looks low, you know. And he sees everything that's done in the dark too, you know, because a lot of stuff. Ooh, Jesus, I wasn't trying to see that. But there's a lot of stuff done in the dark that's going to come to the light. You put it that way. Amen.
Mhm.
Amen. Amen. What about you, man? God, you good?
I'm good.
Amen. Woman of God, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
You show?
Yeah, I'm good.
Amen.
One more thing. I just before we go, if we can lift my husband up in prayer, I really do feel that God is moving him, you know, closer. But
yeah.
Circle of influence that he hangs around, kind of like keeping him stymied, you know, stuck in the middle of. Fighting, you know, it's pulling him away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, he came and confessed the sins of God, but it's like, and maybe that could be the reason. The warfare, you know, because he came and, you know, confessed his sins and, you know, got saved 2 times within this last year.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, and I guess that God works on us in different levels and, you know, on his own time.
Sometimes, and I'm not saying this is the case, but, you know, I'm feeling something while you're talking. But sometimes when people are, when people have bad marriages or their marriages end up in divorce or they want to be married, you see, they look upon other folks' marriages, and they tend to get like a little jealousy there. Not, and sometimes they don't even try to. You know, it's just that the enemy implants that in them, and they play into it. You see, and then you know, remember what I said about the heart. When you have something in your heart, the devil will use that, you know, to use you against a certain individual. You see. So that's just part of what's going on. But your husband, he has a lot of things going on with him, too, on the inside. You know, even unresolved things from his childhood. You know, I really see. You know, was his father really there with him?
His dad, he was there with him until he was 7. And then he got married again. I think she was like, it was his grandmother's friend daughter, and she, I guess, sleeping around or whatever, and so he does have a lot of her. His dad passed away 2 years after my dad did, and he's kind of like, but you know what, he's been saying a lot of things, and I'm like, okay, like, wow. He's been not even seeing that he's been saying a lot of things that is in his heart to me lately.
Yeah.
You know, because when he do talk, he kind of talks, and sometimes he's talk on a regular level like talking, but then when it's the things out of his heart, it's out of anger, you know. is when it when it comes out, you know. And but his mom and dad, they fought a lot, and just a lot of things. His dad kind of like, you know, left him, you know, kind of forgot all about him. Then he said his dad brainwashed him into moving with him, and so he would help out in his dad's store. His dad had like a little corner store, you know, like in the neighborhood, and his stepmom and her sister would come in and take the money out the register, so he would get beat for that. I don't know how often they did it, but, you know, he would take the blame for that. So that kind of raised up the, I would say, the hatred and the rejection and the hurt, you know. And I've been through a lot of stuff, and I try to, you know, minister to him and let him know, you know, we all been through some things, but I think maybe his situation, our situation was worse, but I think maybe his situation was kind of worse because he really had nobody there for him. You know, my grandmother was there, even though my mom and dad were in the house, but everybody in the house was, you know, they was on drugs. But I had my grandmother there, but see, with it, both sides of his family, it was, it's a lot of wrongdoings, you know, like treating people wrong and stuff like that. So it kind of like got instilled in him. And so the good things that I, you know, try to show him and stuff like that, he has it in his heart. It's like, I think he has to get over, you know, like you said, what he's been through.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I really feel a lot of, he has a lot of rejection for, as far as from his dad. And a lot of times, see, my God, when us as men growing up, we need that father figure. We look for that. And when you don't have that, you know, because I experienced some rejection with my father that God had to deal with me on. You know, and the thing about it was I had my stepdad here. My stepdad took care of me and everything. And, you know, he was just like my real dad, and I had the utmost respect for him. But at the same time, I had issues with my real father because it was like he wasn't what he should have been in my life. So I had to deal with all those rejection issues. And then there's a lot of things that he wanted to express to his father, you know, that he didn't get a chance to really express all of it. You know, he really didn't get a chance to express everything he really wanted to express to his father before he died. You see what I'm saying? And he has a lot of things. He has a lot of things. There's a lot of shame and guilt that's trying to eat at him, too. But we're going to pray against that. You know, because the enemy comes to try to torment, you know, the mind sometimes, you know, especially when we have unresolved issues of our past like that, you know, the enemy comes in and he brings a torment, you know, behind that. You know, he really wants to do right. He wants to do the things of God, but it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle. It's certain things that really got a hold of him. And there's certain things that he's really going to have to come to grips with.
Yeah.
You know, that this is what the Lord is giving me now. Because a lot of times when we expose things to the light, then God can deal with it. You see, but if we keep things, you know, suppressed or swept under the rug, you know, I've been in that situation too. If we keep everything swept under the rug or we don't, you know, address it, you know, we just try to overlook it and go about life from day to day, that we're going to continue to be in bondage in our mind. So, you know, he has to get to a place, and I really believe that he's going to get to that place, and you continue to pray and intercede for him, you know, because, you know, he's having a real hard time, but he wants to do the right thing. That's what I'm really feeling in my spirit. He wants to do the right thing by God. You know, he really wants to do the right thing by God. And I'm even seeing when he was younger, too, somebody really planted their seed of Jesus in him. I don't know if it was his grandmother or what. But somebody planted that seed of Jesus in him. You see what I'm saying? So he's been knowing about God for a very long time. And you know, he's been wanting to really, really do something for God for a very long time. You know, but sometimes, you know, things happen. Life deals us a bad hand. And, we just take our hand and play it the best way we know how. You know, but God is trying to give him a new hand. God is trying to give him a fresh new deck, you see. And you are really going to have to be his backbone, you know, as far as his walk with God and everything like that. And you're going to have to really, really be on the wall face. God's going to have you to really pray, you know, and intercede on his behalf, you know. And that's going to have a lot to do with him being free, too, because the Bible says that the strong bears the infirmities of the weak. So sometimes when we're in our weak moments, you know, when we're in our weak moments, you know, God will have somebody there to, you know, help us to be a strength, you know, in that area of our lives until we're able to stand on our own two feet in that particular situation. So I strongly believe that God is going to use you as a big part of, you know, him being set free. And then, you know, there's a man of God that's going to come into his life, too. There's a man of God that's going to come into his life and going to be able to really, really, really minister to him and minister to those deep places in his heart, you know, because he has a lot of deep places in his heart, you know, that he don't really want to too much be bothered with. You know, God is going to really raise up a man of God because that's what he needs right now in his life, a strong, you know, man of God that can identify with what he's going through. And God is going to send that to him very soon. And, you know, God is going to use him in his life also. So you be encouraged, woman of God, and know that, you know, God is in control. Everything is in the hands of the Lord. And God is going to do something very powerful in his life because he is called to be a part of the remnant. He's called to be, you know, he's a call to the end times. He's called for the end times, and there's a lot of things that God's going to use him to do also. You know, this is nothing but an attack of the enemy, you know, but, you know, it's well, because the hand of the Lord is upon his life. And one thing about having a call upon your life and the hand of the Lord upon your life, and when you have people that's praying for you all the time, because you got some folks praying for them too, you're gonna only get so far. Because my grandma, my great grandma prayed for me every night, and I was just as rebellious as they come. And I grew up in the church and everything, you know, I was just as rebellious as I could be. But you know, God still, you know, look at where I'm at now. Look at where God has brought me from, and look at where he's brought me to, and look at where he's taken me, you know. So, you know, you continue to pray, you know, and he really got some more people praying for him, too. You know, I really feel that. I feel that he got a lot more people praying for him, too, praying for you all. So you be encouraged. Y'all are well covered here.
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Well covered. Yes, ma'am. And before we all get off this line tonight, amen, I'm gonna definitely say a prayer. You know, I'm gonna lift your husband up to what's his name?
Marcus Moore.
What his first name is?
Marcus, MARCUS.
Okay. Marcus. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Father. I just thank you for the word that has been released on tonight, Father. I just thank you, Father, for what you are finna release in this hour, Father. I thank you, Father, for the word that you're going to release, Father, on the next segment, Father. I just thank you, Father, for the man of God and woman of God that's on the line with me, Father. I just thank you, Father, that you've raised them up to be two very powerful people in your kingdom, Father. And, Father, I thank you, Father, that what you have begun in them, Father, because you gave me that scripture before I got on the line, Father. You said that what you have begun, you that begun a good work in them, Father, shall complete it until the day of Christ, Father. And I just thank you right now, Father, for what you have done in their lives, Father, and what you're going to do in their lives in the future, Father, and what you're doing right now in their lives while they are on the line, Heavenly Father. And I lift up Marcus, Father. Father, I thank you right now, Father. I send forth a word of deliverance, Father, and healing to his heart, Father. I thank you, Father, that you're going to mend up his broken heart, Father. I thank you, Father, that you're going to remove the rejection, the pain, and the hurt, Father. Father, I thank you, Father, that that wall of defense, Father, that he has built up, Father, as a result, Father, of what he has been through, Father, I thank you right now that it's going to be torn down, Father, by the love of God. It's going to be torn down by the anointing that destroys every yoke, and that the enemy that has tried to keep him captive will have to let him go in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And I thank you right now, Father, for his life, Father. I thank you for the anointing, the calling, Father, that you placed upon his life, Father. I thank you, Father, that he's going to be able to move, Father, apostolically, Father, and establish and build, Father, and plant, Father, and do what it is, Father, that you have called him to do in this hour, Father. I thank you, Father. Give him strength, Father. You said, Father, that when we are weak, Father, your strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we're weak, you are strong, Father. So help him, Father, in the times, Father, that he may be weak, Father, in his flesh, Father. Help him in the times that he may be weak in his spirit, Father. Help him, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. I thank you for sending him help right now, Father. Father, I command, Father, Father, the yoke off his mind to be broken. I bind that spirit of torment off of his mind. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I come against every spirit of torment, Father, that comes to try to plague his mind, that comes to try to bring guilt. Right now, in the name of Jesus, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I thank you right now, Father, for removing, Father, every weight, Father, from off of his shoulders, Father. Remove the burden, Father, and give him your burden, because you said that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Father. So remove the heavy load right now off his mind, Father. Free up his heart, Heavenly Father, so that he may be able to receive from you and hear from you, Heavenly Father. And, Father, I thank you for the woman of God on the line right now, Father. I thank you, Father, that you're taking her to new heights, Father, in you, Father, that she has not been before, Father. I thank you for an increase in her life, Father. I thank you for an increase in her marriage, Father. I thank you even for an increase in finances, Father. I speak increase in every area of her life right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now, Father, for the calling that you have upon her life, Father. I thank you for the giftings that you placed in her that is getting ready to come forth in this season, Father, after its proper development, Father. I just thank you right now, Father, that you have established her in you, Father, and that she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, Father, not being able to be moved by nothing and nobody, Father. I thank you, Father, for clarity, Father, on some things, Father, Father, that she's been praying for and asking for, Father. I thank you, Father, that you're going to speak to her, Father, the answer, Father, that she needs to hear, Father, to go forth and do what you have called her to do. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Father, for the work, Father, that you're doing in her life, Father. I thank you, Father, that you're teaching and you're training her, Father. Father, I thank you that you've given her patience, Father, Father, to endure, Father. I thank you right now, Father, that you're doing it, Father. I thank you for the work, Father, that's being worked in her life, Father, because I know, Father, that when you bring her through this, Father, that many people's lives will be affected, Father, and many people will be won, Father, into your kingdom, Father. I thank you for the kingdom being demonstrated in her life, Father, in her marriage, Father, in her ministry, Heavenly Father. I thank you right now, Father, for her moving in the things of the kingdom, Father, how you're preparing her, Father, to go forth, Father. And, Father, give her patience in this trying time, Father, because truly, Father, this is a trying time for all the remnant, Father. And I just thank you right now, Father, that everything that you have, that she has asked you for, according to your will, you shall provide it and you shall grant it, Father, in this due season, Father. You said no good thing will you withhold from those that walk up right before you. And I thank you right now that as she continues to walk up right before you, Father, no good thing will you withhold from her. Father, I thank you right now, Father, for the man of God on the line, Father. I thank you, Father, for the prophetic, Father, being sharpened in this season in his life, Father. I thank you for the giftings, Father, that you have placed in him, Father, that are being developed right now, Father. But I thank you for the gifting, Father, that you're thrusting forth right now, Father. The gifting in the area of music, Father, in the area of worship, Father. I thank you that you're going to use him, Father, as a refiner's fire, Father, to purify, Father, the worship, Father, because truly the worship, Father, has been defiled, Father. They've been lifting up foul stench to you, Father. But I thank you that he's one of the ones that you're calling in this hour, that you're raising up, Father, to purify and refine, Father, this garbage, Father, that they're trying to send up to you. I thank you right now, Father, that even, Father, in his time of mashing, his time of crushing, Father, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're molding and that you're shaping him, Father. Give him patience, Father, to endure, Father. Yeah, I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but give him patience to endure. You said that those that endure until the end shall be saved or delivered, Father. And I thank you in due time, Father, that you're going to lift him up, Father, and send him forth, Father, Father, to purify, Father, what this music industry, Father, has caused, Father, because there's a bunch of garbage that's being played on the airwaves right now. But I thank you right now, Father, that you're preparing him for a heavy and a mighty assignment, a heavy and a mighty assignment. A heavy, my God, I just hear the word, a heavy and a mighty assignment that you've been called to. My God, my God, my God. Sita rebe si koda la bashata. Sita lebi ko sinda la ma. Rebe si kata ba sushara da bosia. Raba ste kata da bosia. Ita rebosta ba si kete la bosia. Sita rebe si koda la bashanda. Ruba sikata masia, my God. Sendolobo sitalabasia. My God, my God. The anointing that God gonna place upon your life. Jesus. Sitalabasundalabasia. Remember I told you earlier that he's suiting you up? He's getting ready. He's preparing you to tote the mantle. He's conditioning you because the mantle that God's placed, that God's gonna place upon your life is gonna be so heavy. My God, it's going to be so heavy that you have to be fit to tote it. I'm talking about in the spirit. It's a natural analogy, but it coincides with what's going to take place in the spirit. You have to be fit to tote it. It's a lot of things that you're not ready for, but God is conditioning you, and he's building you up. To be able to receive it. Sometimes God shows us things and we're ready to act upon it then. But then God has to show us, no, you're not ready yet. There's some more things I got to do in you.
So true.
And the Lord told me to tell you to submit to the process. Yeah? He says, submit to the process. There's some more things I got to do in you. He says, some more things I got to do in you. But the fruit that's going to be produced.
Oh, Shianama.
Ha, Yetebiasa. The fruit that's going to be produced, ha, as a result of your submission, ha, Sitalaba, to the process. My God. My God. My God. It's a fruit that's going to remain. It's a remaining fruit. Jesus. My God. See, one thing I learned, the greater your crushing, the greater your call.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The greater your crushing, the greater your call. I had to endure so much these last 3 years. I even had to endure abuse. Come on, Sitalabosia. I've had to endure abuse of authority. I had to endure manipulation. I've had to endure, I mean, my God, I mean, I have a horror story of a testimony. But even in the midst of all of that, I had to endure it. God made me endure it. There was times that I got rebuked for stuff that I didn't even do. I was in the right, and I was finna speak. I was getting ready to speak and defend myself, and the Lord told me to be quiet and listen. Why God had me to tell you this, I don't know. But see, the greater your crushing, the greater your call. And see, a lot of times God allows us to be crushed like that because, you know, the higher he lifts us up, the more humble we have to be.
That's the truth.
And I had to come to a serious place of humbleness. I'm not as forward and mean as I used to be. Because, see, me, I was one of them prophets that cut you and don't care about your feelings. I was one of them prophets that cut you and I try to bandage you up a little bit. You know, I try to bandage you up a little bit, you know. But I was very arrogant with my, you see. There's a difference between teaching or preaching with authority and then just being plain out arrogant. You know, they said Jesus taught with authority. You know, he wasn't arrogant. He wasn't boasting about himself. I'm the king. I'm this, I'm that. You know, or I got it all together. He just spoke what God said. So in this hour, God is doing also a humbling process in you. And it don't mean that you're not humble. You see what I'm saying? But sometimes God just wants us to be more humble than what we are because of where we're going. So the reason David had to endure all that stuff from Saul. So that way when he became king, he wouldn't do the same stuff Saul did.
Exactly.
He made that one mistake with getting Bathsheba husband killed, but other than in the census, he counted the census, but he wasn't halfway as bad as Saul was. Nowhere near. You know, so now God is getting you to a place now where he's teaching you what to do, what not to do. You know, he's teaching you a lot. He really is. He's teaching you the true meaning of worship, the true reason of worship, because a lot of people think worship is just singing songs and stuff like that. No, that ain't what worship is. Worship is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then you can't even worship God in the flesh.
That's right.
The Bible says that when you worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to be in the spirit in order to worship God.
Yeah.
And then you got to be properly established in the truth. You got to be walking the truth. So that goes to show right there that worship has everything to do with your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch of demons that come to church and lift their hands and worship God. Then the Bible says every knee shall bow, including Satan's too. Dita, eta babasa. Come on, Jesus. See, even the devil had to bow before God when he came to present himself along with the other angels. In the book of Job, when the Lord told him, have you considered my servant Job? Satan had to disguise himself and present himself before God too. Come on now. So, I can't be impressed by people lifting their hands and, you know, rolling on the floor, all the other foolishness they doing, which they leave out and they still be a devil. You know, that's not the true meaning of what worship is. And see, God in his hour, he's really revealing to you the whole mystery and purpose of worship. My God. He's revealing to you the whole purpose of worship because that's a big part of your ministry. So that's why your question is so hard, because worship is a big part of God's heart. You see what I'm saying? God. I mean, when you begin to worship God from your heart, walking in the spirit and in truth, my God, the presence of God would be like you trying to get the cloud in there now. If we get a whole bunch of people on one accord in the spirit walking in truth in one place and worship God, will nobody be able to stand up.
I'm telling you.
Nobody will be able to stand up. We will see a physical cloud. We will see angels. Jesus will probably get off the throne and do a backflip and clap. I'm serious.
True.
I'm serious. Gee, I strongly believe that. If we get a whole bunch of people on one accord, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth in one place, and nobody in their flesh, I think Jesus will come off the throne and make a personal visit. And be like, bam, this is what I've been looking for right here. But thing about it is, so many people worshiping God in their flesh. You can't be in your flesh worshiping God. God ain't accepting that. Your worship going to the ceiling and hitting the floor, and then if you are outside somewhere, you probably deflecting your worship somewhere. You probably fanning his nose. Like, man, that stinks. You know? Smell like a landfill or something. You know what I'm saying? You know, but my God, God had me to stop praying, and I started when I got to you, man. God, I was praying, and now the Lord gave me a word, and now I'm talking. I'm like, my God, he must really be serious about this worship thing. You have a heavy assignment, and you can't afford to be distracted by foolishness or foolish people. If you gotta be alone, be alone. If you gotta be alone, be alone. You know, you might be alone for a season, but if you gotta be alone, be alone. Because the assignment of God upon your life is so heavy, and that assignment, you can't be connected to any and everybody. You can't. God is not going to let you. As long as you're walking in the things of God, He is not going to let you be connected to any and everybody. Ah, Jesus. Jesus. My God. My God. Your assignment is very heavy. I just can't get past that. I can't get past what I'm feeling right now. Your assignment is very heavy. And you have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Both of you have to be very careful who you tell your dreams to. And, man of God, you got to be careful who you connect with. You can't be connected to any and everybody. Because once you start, you know, once God starts lifting you up, everybody and their grandmama going to want to try to connect to get in. You know, even the ones that didn't believe in you before, or didn't believe in the call of God upon your life, those are the ones that are going to try to connect to you too. You see, but until they let God do what he needs to do in them, they can't be connected to you.
Good Lord.
Not in your inner circle. And I really feel like some folks will be trying to leash themselves onto you, and you can't have that. So I encourage both of you all, my God, to continue to stand. Even now, you know, I'm learning what it means to stand. And I thought I knew what it means to stand, but now I'm really learning what it means to stand. I mean, because I'm an apostle, but I'm a young apostle, you see. And, you know, there's some things that, you know, I'm still learning too, you know, as far as ministry. You know, nobody got it all together, you see. But that's why God places certain people in your life around you, you know. But, you know, God's going to give the right people around you all, but, you know, he definitely beware the wrong people. Ishmael come before Isaac. Ishmael always come before Isaac, here. Yeah? Always remember that. Amen. But I really thank God for this conference call. I really didn't expect to be on here that long. Hey, man, I can only imagine if we had a couple more folks here. I can just imagine. Hey, man, if we had a couple more folks here, I mean, I'd probably be on here as long as Apostle Hill was. because he was on there for a while. Yesterday, and he was on there for a while, but God truly used him powerfully, you know. And I definitely received the word of the Lord that He spoke into my life, you know, because you know that the Lord did show me that. And I've been receiving nothing but confirmation since I've been back in town. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't even know that I'm back yet to state. But they'll be surprised. Amen. But I definitely thank y'all for tuning in today, and I love y'all. I love y'all. You know, I don't have to know you to love you. Amen. And I truly love y'all, and I mean it from my heart here. And I want to see y'all do everything that God has called y'all to do. You know, the labors are very few. The harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. And I mean, nobody's doing the work anymore. You know, I mean, the standards of God are at an all time low, and I'm seeing this thing, and I'm seeing the condition of the people, and it hurts me to see people in bondage that go to church. That's like a pet peeve of mine. You know, there ought to be some deliverance in there, or something. I mean, there ought to be something moving in there. You know, I don't believe sick people ought to be in the church. You know, I believe that the church is supposed to be a place of healing. Church is supposed to be a place of deliverance. You know, I don't believe in that. That's like against my religion. I'm just being real. That's like against my whole religion. You know, so. I know God is going to fix that in this hour. You know, God is going to restore His people. You know, He's going to restore us as a people back unto Himself. And then that same thing that we experienced, we're going to bring it to the world. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
This is a divine appointment set up.
What do you say?
I said I think this was a divine appointment set up for just us three.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't need that. And, I pray that God will pour into you everything that you have. I poured into us.
Amen. I receive it. I definitely receive that in Jesus' name. And you know, I just pray that everything that He has for you all, you know, that you receive it in this season to go forth and do what He's called you all to do. Because, I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, nobody's really doing the work. And people are dying in the crack houses. You know, people are dying in the church. It's like the world and the church is in a state of emergency. And He has to raise up a people to be able to attend to both sides. You know, so that's why I believe that, you know, God is stressing the kingdom in this hour, because when the kingdom of God is established in our society, you know, I believe that, you know, laws will begin to change. You know, the same-sex garbage is not going to be going on. You know, the reason why they allow same-sex marriage is because the church is allowing it. You know, the church is gotten to a place now where they've gotten complacent, you know, and satisfied with just, you know, I guess going to heaven, and most of them ain't going. You know, they've gotten complacent. You know, the kingdom, he told the apostles, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say just stay in the church and preach the gospel. In this hour, God is raising up people that He specifically anointed to deal with political affairs. He's raising up people to establish the kingdom and the politics, because right now we're dealing with cultural demons right now. Political and cultural demons is really what God is coming after next. You know, because politics, you know, and our culture as a whole, you know, in America, you know, it's built upon paganism, you know, demonic influence, and, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But you know, God is raising up people to deal with those type of principalities and demons, amen. And you know, at the same time, you know, we're still dealing with that old stinky religious demon that just so stubborn, act like it don't want to go nowhere, but it's going. It's finna get right up out of God's church. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God is going to boot that demon back to the pits of hell. You know, and that old Jezebel, Leviathan spirit, God's going to boot that back to the pits of hell too.
Amen.
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 And God's going to expose witchcraft, you know, in the church. And, you know, he's going to do away with it too. You know, he's going to expose what it is, because a lot of people operate in another spirit and they don't really realize that they are. You know, so God's going to begin to expose and identify that, because God not going to kill you for doing wrong until he acknowledged the fact, until he pointed out to you that you're doing wrong and you don't fix it. You don't allow God to change that in you. If God, like I said earlier, the Bible says if you know the truth and still sin, there's no atonement for that. You know, a lot of people don't teach that either, you know. But man and woman of God, I love y'all. Once again, you know, I'm kind of drained right now because the Lord, you know, just poured out so much, you know, but it's hard to get off the phone. You know, but like I say, you know, I'm going to put my number on the screen, and you know, my phone actually get ready to go dead now. So it must be time to get off the phone, amen. You know, it must be God telling me it's time you get off the phone. But my number is going to be on the screen, so anytime, you know, you want to give me a call or whatnot, you know, you can. You know, I'm here for prayer and stuff like that too. So y'all be blessed, okay?
All right, you do the same.
All right.
I put all right, on my Facebook.
Okay.
All right,
man of God. I'm gonna give you my number, man of God. Here.
All right.
All right, sir. Be blessed. All right, God bless y'all.
God bless you too.
All right, bye-bye.